It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
And if I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you John Merrick's remains
and all them crazy elephant bones.
And if I had $1 million,
I'd buy you.
So, Brian, I thought the Crazy Elephant Man reference was perfect for Halloween, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I'm debuting Halloween jokes today.
Oh, please do not repeat any of the ones that you said to me before we went on there.
Well, I wouldn't do that. That would
you'll be able to hear. You'll be able to hear all the listeners collectively groan when they hear that.
Well, they're not the jokes you're used to at Halloween parties, like really, you know, edgy. They're dad jokes, man. And you're a dad. And
next thing
to
happen in Havasu is you say an edgy joke, they're going to go to city council and try to outlaw edgy jokes. That's the way we're going.
Man.
I'm fired up.
Woo!
I'm fired up.
I guess so.
Oh, just.
I like it.
Yeah.
I really like that. That's what we
can talk, so offensive.
We can talk to Ron Gould about that tomorrow. That's actually pretty funny.
Thanks.
Oh, my word. All right. So, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Thursday, October 13th, 2022. Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I have to say happy birthday to my oldest sister. I'm not going to say how old.
But older than, you know, you.
She graduated from high school early, so now you really can't figure out her age, in 1966.
Oh, okay.
And she saw the Beatles live.
Wow.
Yeah.
She is quite a bit older than you.
64, the year I was born. So, anyway, happy birthday to my sister Catherine, or Kat, or Kathy, as I call her. I never call her. She wants everyone to call her Catherine now. You know, like, she's earned it or something, you know, being the being the wise person she is. That's what I say about people her age. But anyway, I digress. Happy birthday to my sister Kat. So there you go. She lives in Las Vegas now. Lived in Sausalito for a spell and a long time in Plano, Texas. So there you go.
Texas, yeah.
Plano, Texas.
Plano, right? Plain old Texas.
Not plain old.
Oh,
like right
okay.
And McKinney, right outside of Dallas. So, anyway, there's your happy birthday for the day. I don't know if I should tell one or two jokes a show, but I've got a whole slew of them up until Halloween. So, this one, I think, is my favorite.
Okay.
And I haven't told you
Start
yet.
Out strong.
Do zombies eat burgers with their fingers? No. They eat the fingers separately. Ba-dum-bum. I love that. That's a great joke.
I apologize, everybody. these were not filtered through me.
Oh, no, speaking of Halloween, there's two blood drives coming up this weekend in Lake Havasu City. How about that for timing? On Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays is at the Covenant Church Community Center Auditorium from 11 to 3. Sundays is 10:30 to 4:30 at the Lake Havasu City Elks Lodge. Pretty cool, right?
Very cool.
Yeah. So, get a hold of Vitalant. You can go to vitalant.org and sign up, get an account, or maybe you already have one, a profile that is, and make an appointment. And you can just walk in there, walk out. You can do all of your pre-interview questions online, so it speeds up the process, and go donate and save three lives with each donation. How about that? But if you if you do a double, I have to ask Brittany this. But if you do a double, I think you save 6 lives. So it's called a Power Red donation now. They don't call it a double anymore. So anyway, we've got football tonight on the sports station. Do you know the new name of the Washington football team?
The Commanders.
Nice. Yeah. Good job. Because I had to do a double take when I saw it. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're the Commanders. It's just like Cleveland's new baseball team, right? The Guardians.
The Guardians. Yeah, that threw me off the other day because I got, you know, baseball just started up again.
Do you know why?
I mean, I guess baseball not starting up. It's in the playoffs. But, you know, I don't know. For a reason, I guess I haven't seen a Cleveland game. So
apparently there's a famous bridge in Cleveland or a famous landmark that has those, like, gargoyles on it.
Yeah.
But they're not gargoyles. They call them Guardians.
Ah, okay. So it has some deep local meaning.
Yeah, which is
cool. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It has local meaning. So anyway, the Commanders at Chicago, the Bears, a team that will probably never change their name because I don't see Bears getting offended by being a football team.
I wouldn't think so.
But you never know. Washington Commanders at Chicago Bears, 4:30 is the pregame, kickoff around 5:10-ish. And that's on the sports station, 980 AM, 94.3, 100.5. Tomorrow night, Havasu High hosting the Gila Ridge Hawks. It's weird. They played all these road games. Now they're going to be at home for about 4 straight weeks.
Very cool. What's our record?
I think they've won 2. I believe they beat Yonker. And I can't remember the other time. I think they're 2-3.
2-3, huh?
Yeah, they've run into a couple of buzzsaws, man. But, yeah they've got Isaac Stopke at running back. He's just a force, man. He just runs over people. So they have a really good running game. And then Saturday morning, good game here, or Saturday at noon, rather, Bama at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
It's a good college
Crimson ball. Tide in the Vols.
Yeah.
USC Trojans at Utah.
Yeah, that's big Pac-12.
That's going to be tough. Yeah. That's going to be the game probably of the day.
Yeah.
That's at 4:30 with the pregame. And then we've got on Sunday, Ravens, Giants, the Cardinals at Seattle. Oh boy. They're like the Riddick, they've been lately the Riddick Bowe of the NFL, you know. They play up to the level of their opponent.
Yeah.
So,
and barely lose.
Or play down to the level in Seattle's case. Yeah. And then Dallas at Philadelphia is the late game. So that's a good Eastern Division rivalry
there,
NFC East. So all of that on the sports station. You can get that schedule at KNTRSports.com. Now I can take a breath because Brian's going to tell us all about the stock market. And did it recover this morning or not?
Big time.
Awesome.
Yeah, big time.
I heard the S&P was down and
just slightly.
The big board was down. Everything was down.
Yeah, but it wasn't a big deal. But currently, huge up. Currently, S&P 500 up about 2.4%, the NASDAQ up about 2%. And so in the Dow, that number translates to up 811 points, you know, for the day. But that's after taking a pretty regular beating over the last 6 days or so. And so it's not that it's building up off of something. It's just recovering off of some absolute bottoms. And it's very hard to know. Is it people that are just buying dips because they think, okay, it's you know, now there's enough risk out that we can start putting money in to make some nice profits, or there's some actual signals that the economy is starting to struggle a little bit, signaling that the Fed Reserve may not raise interest rates as aggressively. Those are the tea leaves that the market's currently trying to read, and so a great deal of positive movement for now, today, to the upside, and we'll see if it holds. And speaking of which, I thought maybe throwing some info, some numbers at you who are feeling down about your portfolio, even though you're a long-term investor, and just some food for thought. Now, past performance is not an indication of future performance. We know that. But these kinds of markets are not unusual. In fact, a decline since 1949, and we'll run this through 2020, so before this year. So for that period of 71 years, the U.S. stock market, as measured by the S&P 500, has had declines that have kind of gone like this, followed by their recoveries that can occur. And the reason that I throw this in is I always keep telling you that these things are just part of the package, and yet the stock market is still averaged double digits over time. And here's some stats to back that up. So, size of decline. And decline of 10% or more, on average, happens about once a year for the last 71 years. 15% or more, about once every 3.5 years. 20% or more, if we end up the day up about where we're at, we'll be down about 25% year to date, certainly fitting into the category of a 20% or greater decline, has on average occurred once every 6 years for the last 71 years. And not only have those declines of 20% or greater occurred once every 6 years, the average length of those occurrences is 401 days, meaning that the decline has averaged about, 14 months, 15 months, something like that. Here we are already 9.5, 10 months into it. Just some food for thought. Because to say that you're worried about things forever going forward is a way of saying that the economy doesn't go in cycles, that markets don't go in cycles, that this time we're going down, staying down, and that this isn't related to the inflation that was caused by federal government spending over the last 13, 14 years. It just happened, and it's never getting better, and businesses are never going to get better, and, et cetera, et cetera, which is ridiculous, right? Now, is there a chance of that? Sure. World War III and, some other pandemic that wipes out 35% of the population. Yeah, all those scenarios, I guess, are in play.
Maybe a stray.
If that's what keeps you up at night.
Maybe a stray North Korean missile.
Right. Well, I don't think it's stray this far, but.
Well, they just lit off another torch, so there you go.
Yeah, yeah. The saber rattlers.
Right.
Here's some other food for thought. On average, returns in the first year after the five biggest market declines in history have equaled about 71%. So a hypothetical $10,000 investment would have more than doubled over the 5 years after each market downturn. So when we talk about buy low, sell high, recoveries are powerful, this is what we're talking about. And so now is a huge opportunity if you've got cash on the sidelines. I love this. I hate this, and I love this when it happens. Well, I shouldn't say hate. I don't like this, and I love this when this happens. I don't like it because it certainly causes a lot of anxiety and stress for clients. There can be some financial damage, depending on what a client wanted to go into, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it for new cash because it's an amazing opportunity for long-term investors to buy in at a 30 or 40% discount, depending upon what they're investing in. And if you can hold it for 5 or 7, 10 years plus, what an opportunity to be able to get into that. I just gave you some numbers, again, to back that up. And so, if we go back specifically, Great Depression, the worst of all time, we saw that the market from September of 29 through June of 32, so way back on the time machine here, declined 86%+. The first year after that, up 137.6.
Do you have any volume numbers to put that in perspective, Brian?
What do you mean?
The volume of the market. How many shares were trading on the market? Like right now we have 30-some thousand.
I don't, but way less.
Okay.
Yeah, way less. smaller trading range, which would make things more volatile, meaning
under 5,
to the
000?
Downside and to the upside. I don't have the stats on how many shares
traded
over the 3 years during the 29 to 32 Great Depression.
No, I'm talking about the
off
total.
Off the top of my head, Paul.
I'm talking about the total volume. Do you know?
I understand. No, of course
not.
Same question.
All right.
37 to 42, right? In the middle of World War II, there was a 60% decline followed by a 64% recovery in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
73-74, 48% decline. In the first year after, 44.43. The second year, 25.99, so 26%. And then in recent memory, believe it or not, everybody, 2000 through 2002, and basically, late 07 through early 09, those were also in the top five worst markets in history, where we saw a 49% decline in 01, 02, and a almost 57% decline in the end of 07 through the beginning of 09.
So, in 1932, on this day, the U.S. stock market index fell to 40.56.
Yeah, well, again, kind of small.
I'm just saying.
So average, and then if we talk about, well, what about the 5 years after those huge declines? Here's the 5-year average annual total return. Not cumulative for the 5-year period, but average annual return after the five worst markets. 36%, 20%, 17.4, 17.15, 25.3. Those are average annual returns after the five worst markets in history. So one of the dangers that you face if you're a long-term investor by moving money more conservatively, moving money to cash because you're panicking, is guess where you're not going to be when those kinds of recovery numbers come back? In a position to actually recover with them. But I am going to put a caveat with all of this, and that goes like this. To make back what you lost, you got to make more as a percentage than you lost. Let's throw some easy pre-noon math at you.
Okay.
100 grand, you're down 30%, you have 70,000. If you make 30% on 70,000, that's a $21,000 gain, you're at 91 grand. You're not back up to 100. So to get back to 100, you actually have to make about 42-43% to get back all your money after a 30% drop.
Somewhere just north of 40, right.
So you have to understand that there is also risk involved, that it's not going to just snap back right away. And if you've been a listener to the show, you have heard me say over and over and over, if you're taking income, why I recommend moving 3 to 4 years income to a relatively safe place in case this happens, so that you can draw from it instead of the shares that are temporarily down and buy time for them to recover, so the loss on paper doesn't become a loss in your bank account, doesn't become real. With that, we're going to take our first break of the hour. We decided to go Willie and Lucas Nelson today. I'm stoked. I love it.
Yeah.
Old school, Willie at 90. Lucas, I don't know what he is. He's probably early 30s, mid-30s, something like that.
What do you call that, alt country?
Lucas Nelson, for sure. Alternative country.
Yeah. So this is Lucas Nelson and the Promise of the Real, Fool Me Once. Got a little stat for you, Brian, about the stock market.
Yeah.
1929, before the crash, which wiped out both corporate and individual wealth. This is from your uncle Google Springberg. All right.
Okay.
The stock market peaked on September 3rd, 1929.
What?
With the Dow at 381.17.
381?
Yeah, 381.
So currently in real time at 30,000.
There you go. Yeah. All right, I'm Paul Lavoie. Sound Advice with Brian Springberg will continue. We're giving you some fancy stock market stats here on the show. Back with more in a moment. You can't.
back of my mind, taking up all my time, hanging weightless in the sky like an angel with no place to fly.
Oh, that's some good stuff right there, Brian.
I love it.
Willie and Lucas Nelson singing together.
Makes me just want to kick back by my fireplace on a cloudy, rainy Havasu day with the cool, cool weather blowing in through the screen door. So, anyways, that won't be happening, but I just think it in my head. That'd be nice.
I did picture the Havasu day. I was thinking a Utah day.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there you go.
I was kidding. I guess we got a shot at it in a couple of months.
That's more realistic, right?
Of course.
All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Arizona Financial Credit Union, GDK LLC, Patio Paradise, SamsGuns.com, and by Springberg Wealth Management. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate that.
You know,
Jim Russell noticed, our Monday co-host, that you've been a sponsor probably for almost the length of the show.
I wouldn't know.
Maybe 06? I don't know. The show's 27
back
years
on
old.
It's pretty far back on the time machine.
Almost the length of the show. Yeah, we'll have to get that hot tub and go back in time, right?
So, yeah.
All right, don't forget the show archives are at KNTRTalk.com, where we stream live as well. I know we have at least one listener live today streaming. And Lake Havasu City app, we're available there as well. Our archives, that is. And the app is available at the Google Play and Apple iStore. And don't forget to shop local, spend local, eat local, play local, and tell jokes locally. Like, let's see. How does a ghost get its girlfriend's attention? Brian yells, "Hey, boo!"
God.
I like that one,
There's
actually.
No, yeah, like, yeah.
Rogan always says, "You do you, boo." So you got to like that.
It's hard.
It's all. That's kind of a modern joke, you know, when you think about it.
So, seniors, good news. And for a lot of people on a fixed income, retired, you know, this year has been brutal with inflation because your income hasn't kept up. And basically those who have prospered in a very meaningful way for a very long time in this country continue to spend money and buy items at elevated prices, keeping prices elevated, hence inflation.
Right. I had to think about that for a second.
So one of the things that does happen, though, if you're on Social Security, is each year they kind of take a look at your wages, and they look at inflation, and they adjust. Now, last year, there was an increase, or I should say, you know, for this year, there was an increase of 5.9%, but there was also an increase on Part B of Medicare. So essentially, the bump that people got on their Social Security pay was eliminated and negated because there was an increase. That's not happening for 2023. So they came out with the final numbers through September 30, which is the fiscal year where they look at what inflation does for Social Security purposes. 8.7% is the amount you can expect to increase your Social Security pay. Well, that's twice as much an average employer will increase somebody's pay by.
Pretty much.
And Part B, Medicare, is slated to go down a little bit over $5 a month. So you're actually going to see an increase in Social Security and a very slight decrease in Medicare, meaning a meaningful bump. If we round 8.7 to 9%, you know, that's kind of money. In other words, if you're getting $2,000, you're talking about going up somewhere around $172 or something a month.
Yeah, and last year it was 5.9. They got that bump, and then they get another 8.7 this year. Is that confirmed?
That is confirmed. And so that is what you can expect. So if you are taking Social Security, you are in a position to enjoy a substantial increase. It's the biggest Social Security increase since 1981, when, of course, inflation was extremely high. So a serious bump up with really no downward consequences for those people who are in the position of getting Social Security. Now, that is all great news, is it not? I think it's actually better news than you may even think, because the likelihood is that inflation will start subsiding next year. Kiplinger, which is a very famous publication that basically is a research publication on all things financial and economic, is saying that they believe that inflation will finally drop in the first quarter of 23, meaning that you will start seeing prices subsiding as early as just after the beginning of next year. And that they believe by the end of 2023, you could see inflation down to as low as 3%. So a dramatic decrease in inflation is what is being predicted by the end of next year.
What does that mean for the prime rate, do you think?
So that will go down. In other words, you will see it. That's the whole thing, is you will see them adjust interest rates back down, because they can't keep punishing the economy once the economy gets the negative effects of these increased interest rates. That's the reason why they're raising the interest rates, is to intentionally slow the economy down. Once there's no reason to do that, they'll start ratcheting back the other way.
Let's hope.
Caller.
Let's hope, right?
Yeah.
Caller, you're live on Speak Up.
Well, hi, Brian.
Hello.
How about you too, Paul?
hey, Jack.
Yeah, how are you guys? Anyway, I heard O'Reilly talk this morning about the International Monetary Fund at about 1-something percent at the moment, growth. How does that affect... Well,
projecting GDP, global growth is what you're saying.
Global growth.
Got it.
How does that affect our inflation, or any inflation?
So, gosh, that is a great question. And
did you want to listen off the air?
So
yes,
many
yes,
different
I will.
Ways to
right,
answer
thank you.
That. So the International Monetary Fund, so that bank basically is what he's referring to, is predicting that global growth will be 1%. Now, the United States is going to be a big part of the positive side of that, because, believe it or not, inflation is worse almost everywhere else, and economic growth is definitely worse almost everywhere else. So we're actually doing better than pretty much the rest of the world on almost all economic fronts right now. So his question is, well, when you say 1% globally, what does that mean? Part of the concern about American GDP, the United States' economic growth, is that if the rest of the world is in a deep recession, and we're not, or we're in a moderate or slight recession or something like that, it doesn't help American companies that the rest of the world is in those dire straits, because their ability to buy our goods and services is obviously going to be hampered, which is a negative draw on our growth. So the rest of the world's growth definitely will affect how good corporate earnings are for the vast majority of American companies. You know, a lot of them, you know, they have their earnings are based upon sales overseas. So the fact that the rest of the world may be struggling does definitely have a hampering effect. The other thing that goes hand in hand with that is the strength of the dollar. As long as that dollar remains super strong, at the same time, that further punishes international companies for buying our goods and services, because their currencies don't buy as much when they have to buy it in U.S. dollars, when they're buying American goods and services. And so a overly strong dollar and suffering global economies will be a limiting factor on American growth. And so we want the rest of the world, minus a couple of countries whose names, of course, shall not be mentioned, like Russia and Saudi Arabia and North Korea.
This is Harry Potter. He who shall not be named.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're naming them. We're calling them out.
Right.
Yeah, but other than that, we want the world to prosper, because we are so intertwined with it economically, of course. Now, we want to outcompete them for same goods and services, but we still want them to do well, because they're buying our stuff. And so When we talk about those kinds of low numbers or a global recession, definitely what's happening abroad impacts us here at home. But I just wanted to make the final point, going back to my Social Security comment so we can wind that up. If you got an 8.7% bump and inflation, which was 8.7, drops down to 5 by spring and 3 by the end of the year, you're getting this huge increase while the costs of goods and services from what you were paying today decline by 3, 4, 5, 6%. That could be even a wonderfully added bonus for people for their spending power for next year. And so there is some lemonade out there to be made, everybody, with kind of the volatility and difficult times that we're currently trying to deal with right. inflation. So with that, we got to go to our next break. We'll be right back. Is it Willie or Lucas taking us
Willie.
Out here? Willie taking us out here on the next break here on Sound Advice on Speak
Out. I don't
out.
Just want spending power. I want some saving power, too, if you know what I mean.
Of course. Amen.
All right. Hey, listener Jack gave us a joke, by the way.
Oh.
How do you know you've been ghosted? When the poltergeist doesn't text you back. I don't know if he made that up or not. It's pretty good.
That was funny.
All right. Back with more in a moment. We're starting a period of Halloween jokes. Since we're not really going to do Halloween music, why not some humor, right?
Throw it out there.
People
yeah.
need the good humor
Send
right
one
now.
In if you got a good one.
That's
we need
pretty
one.
Good. Just, yeah, text me on my Facebook Instant Messenger. If you have my phone number, you can do that as well. All right, Paul Lavoie, Brian Springberg, back with more on Sound Advice.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through SagePoint Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. SagePoint Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in here are independent of SagePoint Financial.
Gonna keep you out of town tonight. When I set my eyes on you, not gonna be out of my sight.
Fun beat to play. What do you think?
I love it.
You really like that song, don't you?
I love that song.
That's Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real. Fool Me Once.
That's on my favorite, that's on my Sweet Lovin' mix.
That is the song, right? I believe. All right. Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Community College. Also, my favorite word, used twice and differentiated by an apostrophe, herbs. Sun Power by Esme Electric. The Lewis Team, Remax by The Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. And, of course, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology. Go online to lesolson.com/Kingman. Les Olson, OLSON.com/Kingman. Got a great story, if you'll what is this
indulge
word?
You?
Indulge me real
yes.
quick. Matt Dunston was here yesterday, general manager for Les Olson IT, or he's in charge of this area, Nevada, Arizona. And I guess Cowboys RV listens to the show.
Oh.
And they heard the interview with Matt and became a customer.
Just like that.
Called him. They, I don't know if it was Sharp Copiers IT or both, but yeah, they're now a customer of Les Olson IT. So there you go.
Very
operating
cool.
out of Kingman now. They're based out of Las Vegas for this area, and they're now based out of Kingman. So there you go.
Wow. See?
Pretty good testimonial, though.
Radio pays. Is that the...
Radio pays. Radio. I'm not going to use the old slogan.
What was it?
Radio gets results.
Radio gets results.
Super old campaign, yeah. All right, let's take a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, Paul, Brian, it's Wayne. How you guys doing?
Hey, Wayne.
Thanks for turning your radio down, Wayne. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, I find all this fascinating, and on the surface, you would think that with the dollar being nice and strong and our economy doing better than most around the world and us being a major importer rather than exporter, you would think that would be kind of keeping inflation in check.
So, no, I mean, the... So
no,
I think maybe
dollar would be
so I mean what you're saying is if there's not as much international demand because the dollar is stronger and their economies are suffering a little more, that demand would not put as much stress on the lack of supply and that it wouldn't keep driving rates
up.
The prices up.
Yeah, and our
great point.
Stronger, we should be able to buy stuff.
And let's talk about that. So the things that make up the consumer price index, the CPI, are food. I mean, predominantly, like, why is inflation high? Like, let's talk, you know, what's driving it? Food, energy, housing.
I thought food didn't count anymore when they compute inflation.
Well, it depends on what specific measure of inflation you're using. There's all different, they have different, you know, measures that include different categories.
Okay.
But the point is that a lot of the things that are causing the domestic inflation, which is, again, less than the vast majority of the rest of the developed world, are not driven by as much by international. In other words, you know, when you talk about rent, that's not driven by international purchases of goods and services. When you talk about the price of gas in the United States, it makes sense because it's like, well, if demand for oil isn't as robust around the rest of the world because they are suffering a little bit more economically, wouldn't that bring the price of oil down more? And the answer is, well, remember what you keep hearing me say on the show. There's been plenty of times in history where the price of a barrel of oil is the same as it was when gas was $2.85 a gallon. So it's not necessarily just a supply issue, it's and demand issue. It's how much are people, well, it is a demand issue, how much are people still willing to pay here in the U.S., regardless of the fact of what it costs to produce a good and service, so that companies are just leveraging the amount of cash in the system to make bigger and bigger profits. Why do you, another way of saying that is, why do you think last year was the highest corporate profit earnings in 75 years? It's for no other reason than companies were able to charge more above what their cost. They were able to make more profit, 75-year corporate profits, because of the money in the system. And so it just adds to the argument of you know, despite the fact those things are happening, there's so much buildup in the system of excess cash because of a blowing up economy for the last decade, blowing up stock market for the last 13 years, blowing up real estate prices because of super ridiculously artificially low interest rates I've been harping on for years and years, when we didn't need to be doing it. It's like I'm all for it when things are terrible, but they've been great and we still kept it going. And that's why we are in this fix, because people keep doing that. And we could have started pumping the brakes on this a little bit more intelligently if the Federal Reserve wasn't on the this is going to be transitory bandwagon as long as they were. There was a point where here's what I'll say, because I thought that too for a little bit. Because I'm like, okay, well, supply lines are still jacked up from COVID and everything else like that. Pent-up demand because people want to just, you know, get out and live their lives is there, and people were saving, and people had huge amounts of money from the PPP loans, and you can just, you know, corporate profit, small business, we're killing it, right? And so you're thinking, okay, but as soon as that all kind of, that pent-up demand and the supply lines loosen and kind of go away, we'll see some normalization. What they got dead wrong was the amount of money, spending power that the American public had, a percentage of the American public had at its disposal to be able to keep buying things as they continued to go up in price. And that just is only now starting to break.
Right.
And so now, of course, we're all starting to guess, okay, well, the Fed got that wrong. Are they going to keep raising interest rates too much for too long so that when the economy actually starts going through its corrections and corporate earnings go actually are suffering in meaningful ways, that because it took 6 months or 9 months for those to kick in, but they kept raising interest rates, and then those effects start bapping us upside the head after the economy has slowed down, and and inflation has slowed down, and corporate earnings are way down, and that is now the worry of, where's the line that has to be drawn for when they need to kind of throttle back on exactly how much and how long they're going to continue to raise interest rates, and boy, did they get it wrong on the front end. So now we are just desperately hoping they don't mess it up on the back end.
And I know. It just seems like it's either 100 miles an hour or stop. You know, even keel somewhere.
So you've heard the term soft landing. That's what they mean. It's like, okay, we're doing all these things and just kind of ease on down. And the worry is that may not be what they get to.
I hope we don't have a crash landing.
So exactly. And keep in mind, though, again, Wayne, the market is pricing things in real time. So,
right.
You know, so you're watching the market price the future in right now.
All right. I appreciate it. But it is
thanks,
all
Wayne. Wayne, we got to go.
Appreciate your call, buddy.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the time.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Ready to take a break?
I need one.
Brian's looking at me stressed out. Stressing out behind the board. Hey, the last song, by the way, was When I Got My Hands on You.
Love that tune.
It's written by Bob Dylan.
Okay, so Lucas Nelson, Willie's son, singing a Bob Dylan song.
Right. I know, imagine that,
stuff,
right?
Man.
All right. Here's Want Me Around, Lucas Nelson. I'm Paul Lavoie along with Brian Springberg. You're listening to Sound Advice. Stay with us.
You stood in the window of my soul. I played for you. Oh, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love. Some folks just got one, you know, others they've got none.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. I didn't catch that one.
So that song that you're listening to with Willie and
Lucas,
I thought actually might have been, I thought was written by Eddie Vedder. Pearl Jam plays that song for sure.
I'll be darned.
I don't know who wrote it though, but I'm totally familiar with that tune, but through Pearl Jam, but not through Eddie and Willie. It's not like this version isn't going to be amazing.
Right.
If I had to guess, Willie wrote it, and Pearl Jam covered it, if I was a guessing man.
All right, so Eddie Vedder wrote it.
Pearl Jam.
I pulled it up.
How about that?
Eddie Vedder wrote it.
If you're Eddie Vedder and Willie Nelson covers your song, you pretty much just, died and gone to heaven.
Yeah, I just scrolled down to find that, so there you go.
Yeah, good on Eddie. Good dude. I love Eddie.
So you're under 2 minutes now.
Okay. So currently markets continuing to accelerate their upside into the afternoon trading session. The market's still about an hour and a half before close, but currently the Dow up 930 points. But you're a listener, so you know what I really want to say is up 3.19%. NASDAQ up 2.4, S&P 500, the broader index of the U.S. market up 2.85%. This does not mean that those numbers are sticking. Why? We know that to be true because it was only a week or two ago we saw the Dow go up 1,500 points in 2 days, only to give it up and drop below that again. Volatility is going to be here until it becomes a little more clear that the economy is starting to go onto it into a decline. I know it's strange, but you gotta start praying for some bad news if you want to see the stock U.S. stock market recover, because it will slow. It will show that interest rate increases most definitely are going to have to slow down quite a bit, because the intended effects are actually starting to take place.
Gotcha.
So with that, everybody, have a beautiful weekend. Enjoy, I think, a little bit of rain maybe, and some cooler weather. And take care. If you got questions, always feel free to reach out to me at the office. Have a good weekend. This is Brian Springberg on Sound Advice on Speak Out.
All right, Hannity is up next, preceding Fox News, or preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.